Ben, thank you very much for doing this today. How are you?
Good, Scott. How are you?
I'm doing very well, and I'm enjoying the podcast through the first 4 episodes. Can't wait for next Wednesday till the next one comes out. Let's just set the scene a little bit here. How much of your professional identity, in your opinion, is intertwined with the Astros?
A lot. And a lot of it is by my own doing. You know, I wrote that story for Sports Illustrated about them in 2014 when they were the worst baseball team in half a century. I embedded with the front office. I came away thinking that they had a novel plan to turn things around, leveraging analytics with the human factor to get the best out of both man and machine. Ended up on the cover of Sports Illustrated predicting they would win the World Series 3 years later. They actually did. Then I wrote a book diving into all of these strategies in greater depth, all of the reasons that they had found success. And then last fall, it emerged that I'd missed something, and the rest of the world had missed something, that part of their program involved sign stealing. And I felt a great responsibility to dive back into this story, to dig deeper and figure out how this fit in with the story I'd so publicly told about them. And I think the analogy you just drew to the steroids era is a really smart one, right? I mean, everything that they were doing that led to their success, not everything, but most of what they were doing that led to their success was valid, was innovative, helped them create a team that was undeniably one of, if not the most talented teams in baseball anyway. So a big question I'm trying to answer in this podcast is, why did they take that extra illicit step? Why did they need to capture that extra edge that they didn't necessarily need and that ended up disgracing the whole thing?
And I want to get to that. I know you're not going to spoil your ultimate conclusion in this interview, but before we get there, have you ever wondered what your life might be like had you never written that SI article back in the day?
Oh man, I've thought about a lot of counterfactuals, right? A lot of alternate histories. Certainly my life, my professional life, my personal life changed the moment that story came out, the moment that cover came out, and then changed again when the prediction, amazingly enough, came true. So yeah, I've wondered about that. I've wondered about other things too. 2017 World Series. Would it have turned out the same way? There's a good chance the Astros would have won that title anyway, right? But baseball is a game of inches. Any tiny edge can make a difference, especially in what was one of the tighter, most closely contested World Series ever, the 7-game win they had over the Dodgers. So I think about that too. I think about a lot of ways that things could have turned out differently with just slight tweaks to the timeline or to the course of events here or there. And that's another topic I really explore in this podcast.
Yeah, you certainly do. He's the host of the podcast, The Edge, Houston Astros from Cadence 13. Ben Reiter joining us this morning on the Scott Rintoul Show. We're such a swept up in the moment society that it's easy to forget that when the Astros won in 2017, they were celebrated. They were popular. They were a good news story. It's much different now. In your opinion, Ben, when did the erosion of that public image begin?
They were beloved. Especially in Houston, they brought a title to Houston for the first time, and they'd done it in a year in which the city had been devastated by Hurricane Harvey. They had likable players, George Springer, Jose Altuve, Carlos Correa, Alex Bregman, on and on and on. As I documented my podcast, and as I actually sensed at the time and spoke publicly about at the time, I think the turn came in 2018 when they traded for Roberto Osuna, the closer, while he was in the middle of a 75-game suspension for domestic violence, and while he was still awaiting trial in Ontario. That was the moment when I personally thought, is there a darker side to this program, to this process, than I had sensed? And this happened 3 weeks after my book was published. So I was kind of in the middle of a media tour and a book tour promoting it, and then this happens. And that was the moment for me when I started to question some things. I think you can kind of draw a line in many ways between what happened then and then what's happened now. And that's something I certainly do very deeply in the episode of The Edge that just came out yesterday, episode 4.
which I have already consumed, in fact. It's that compelling, certainly from my point of view. So, in your opinion, how did an organization that had already won a World Series and very publicly supposedly had a no-tolerance policy with regards to domestic violence convince itself that Roberto Osuna was a necessary piece to the puzzle?
Well, the thing that the team really lacked when you were looking at a composition standpoint was a good closer. They had Ken Giles at the time. He'd worn out his welcome there. He'd actually been sent down to the minors, if you remember at the time. It seemed like their only weakness. And here was one who was available on the trade market, probably at a discount, right, because of what he had done, at a very well-deserved discount. So my understanding is that Jeff Luhnow, the GM, thought that this would be a worthy gamble. There was the example of Aroldis Chapman 2 years before, who'd been traded to the Yankees from the Reds under similar circumstances, and that had seemed to work out fine. In fact, he was then traded to the Cubs to help them win the World Series, and nobody really talked about his past offenses. So I think all that played into the gamble. But 2018 was a very different environment as far as the public discourse about domestic violence than 2016 had been. The Me Too movement had taken off, had become, you know, a central part of the public conversation. And it wasn't viewed at the time in the same way as the Chapman trade. And certainly the way that it turned out, even though Osuna had charges against him dropped, even though he hasn't done anything else as far as we know, that was in any way similar, even though he played well. The other shoe dropped, of course, during the World Series last year with the incident in the clubhouse in which Luhnow's assistant GM yelled at a female reporter in defense of the team's acquisition of Roberto Osuna, a female reporter who had been critical of it because of its moral component.
And that incident is central to episode 4, and I thought you did a great job of exposing something I had no idea about, that Brendan Taubman, who you just referenced, was against trading for Roberto Osuna, as were other members of the organization. And yet, Taubman obviously got on board, as did other people, and winning is intoxicating. With that incident in particular, to you looking back at it, or maybe you felt this way at the time, was that incident indicative of a culture of arrogance that had permeated the front office, if not the franchise itself?
It certainly seemed that way. And I spent a lot of time, as you know, because you listened to it in episode 4, dissecting the exact chain of events and all the different factors that went into that incident really blowing up and in some ways threatening to overshadow the World Series last year, at least the beginning of it. But yeah, you know, the fact that the Astros came out immediately with a statement after my colleague at Sports Illustrated, Stephanie Apstein, had written a story about the incident, saying the story is entirely fabricated, you know, our employee wasn't doing this, you know, SI should be ashamed. I'm paraphrasing here, essentially, of making up a story where one does not exist. Yeah, I remember immediately at the time getting that press release, and I was sitting with a lot of other reporters, and immediately everybody's reaction was, oh, man, like, this is going to be bad. What are they doing, right? Like, what they should have done is do the right thing. Say, we take this seriously. We're committed to a safe workplace for everybody. You know, we're going to take our time and investigate it. But they didn't do any of that. And it did seem to a lot of people that it was indicative of an organization that really only cared about winning and wasn't interested in anything that dissented with that plan or detracted from that plan.
In conversation with Ben Reiter this morning, host of the podcast The Edge, Houston Astros from Cadence 13, also the author of Astro Ball. He joins us on the Scott Rintoul Show. So you fast forward to 2020 of this week, and the latest interview with Jeffrey Luhnow comes out, and he is in denial, and he says he didn't know. You are very close to this story. You have a more intimate look at this organization over the past most of this decade than very few people out there. Is it plausible that Jeffrey Luhnow did not know about what was going on with sign stealing?
Well, Scott, as you know, we're only on episode 4. We have two more episodes to go. I promise you, I don't want to avoid the question. I know it's annoying. I promise you that we will deeply engage with that very question as the story goes on. And it's a central question, as the series goes on, I should say. And it's a central question. I guess what I'll say is that I didn't find anything that Jeff Luna said the other night to not be plausible, but I think and I know there are more depths to these circumstances than maybe people understand.
Because you work
closely. Sorry for the cryptic cliffhanger.
Not at all. I understand. And look, as I told you, if the next episode was out today, I'd be listening to it right after the show. I've really enjoyed it. You've done fantastic work on this. Jeffrey Luhnow is an interesting character because he's one of the guys who's suspended, but he's doing this public campaign of, hey, a lot of the things that happen correctly for the organization are the direct result of me, but the things that happen negatively don't attach me so much to those. Did you have a judgment on the person himself as you worked with him over the past number of years?
I think, again, that's something that will come out over time, over the course of the series. I will say, and this is not in defense of Jeff Luhnow, but it's a complicating factor, that the commissioner's report does conclude that Luhnow did not know about the trash can banging scheme, right? It does punish him. It does kind of make him the center of blame for this whole thing. But at the same time, it says in black and white, he did not know about the trash can banging scheme. They interviewed over 60 witnesses. They looked at thousands and thousands of documents. And it says he didn't know. Okay. Then the question is, well, if you're the leader of the organization, why didn't you know? Should you have known? And those are some of the things that we're going to be diving into in depth in the next couple weeks.
Do you feel bad for anybody in that organization?
You know, I'm not sure it's a matter of feeling bad or not feeling bad. I just want to tell the truth down the middle. I do think that a lot of people have been villainized in very black and white ways. And I understand that. That's how sports works. That's how our society works. There's heroes and villains. There's not so much room for complication and nuances. So I'm just trying to tell the full story, even as you heard of somebody like Brandon Taubman in episode 4. You know, this is a guy who has been completely villainized, and I don't think through my reporting that's entirely undeserved, as you heard, Scott. You know, he behaved in some really bad ways. But there's always more depth here. There's always more ways to understand people and stories like this. And that's a central goal of my mission.
Well, and look, there's what people see publicly and what you do when nobody's looking. And it sounds, based on episode 4, like Brandon Taubman has taken a lot of necessary steps in his life to make himself a better person. So from a human nature standpoint and what we're capable of, that's an uplifting part of episode 4. The players themselves obviously continue to play. They continue to get booed. And you've seen some of the pushback from guys like Carlos Correa, who has tried to embrace the villain role or the black hat, if you will, and they don't all seem comfortable with it because these were very popular players and they were celebrated far and wide. If you were to give advice to any of these players moving forward, what would that advice be?
I don't know if it's too late for it. And you're right, that Carlos Correa has been really the one who has spoken out about this, both as far as what they did, what they didn't do, his version of events. But I was just always surprised by how quiet most of these guys stayed about this, you know, and there might be many reasons for that. Maybe there isn't much personal upside in speaking out about it. Maybe somebody was commanding them to not talk about it. I think that's certainly a strong possibility. But as a journalist, as somebody who's been around these guys a lot, I think that sunlight's the best disinfectant. I think truth and honesty, I still believe in those things, even in the current state of our world. So I just want them to tell the truth and tell it openly. You know, they really suffered this season in certain ways. Of course, they didn't get punished, which is its own can of worms, but they are now the villains of baseball, and they probably always will be. In episode 2, I talked to a former coach of theirs named Dave Premley, who said, you know, this will be with these guys for the rest of their lives, no matter what else they do. that may be true. Maybe they don't care. But I'd love at some point for them to tell the full truth. That's what I'd be looking for.
As we open the interview, a lot of your professional life has been intertwined with the Houston Astros. Do you have a sense of closure now with this story?
Yes and no. You know, I thought, Scott, that I'd written my last word about the Astros with my book. I never saw this coming. I wrote a whole lot more words about them and spent really this entire year, all of 2020, every day thinking about this topic, interviewing people about it, making this podcast. Maybe I'm done now, but I don't know. It seems like the type of story and the type of topic that just never ends.
Do you want to be done with it?
You know, I'm not sure. It depends what happens. You know, like this topic, it's not only about the Astros cheating. There's very deep resonances with our culture, with how technology has consequences that we don't foresee. Some of those consequences might be intended. Some are unintended. It's really a story that has relevance far beyond baseball. So in that way, I don't think the story is ending anytime soon.
Well, I'm enjoying it. I'm looking forward to the next couple of episodes. You've done a fantastic job on it. You should be proud of your work on this. Ben, thank you very much for your time today.
Thanks. Thanks for having me, Scott.